had fought beside in the undercity of Mithril Hall when it was still in the hands of the Duergar, or the Entreri I pursued to Kalimport when he abducted Regis. Fundamentally, he is the same man, as fundamentally I am the same Drow. A person may learn and grow, and thus react differently to a recurring situation. That is the hope I hold for all people, for myself, for societies even. Is that not the whole point of gaining experience? To use it to make wiser choices? To temper destructive instincts? To find better resolutions? In that regard, I do believe Artemis Entreri to be a changed man. Slower in turning to the dagger for resolution, though no less deadly when he needs it. But fundamentally, regarding what lies in the man's heart, he is the same. I know that to be true of myself, although in retrospect, I walked a very different path over the last few years than that I purposefully strode for the majority of my life. Darkness found my heart, I admit. With the loss of so many dear friends came the loss of hope itself, and so I gave in to the easier path, although I had vowed almost every day that such a cynical journey would not be the road of Drizdo'Urden. Fundamentally, though, I did not change. And so when faced with the reality of the darkened road, when it came time for me to admit the path to myself, I could not go on. I cannot say that I miss Dahlia, Entreri, and the others. My heart does not call out for me to go and find them, surely. But I am not so certain that I could confidently claim such a casual attitude about my decision to part ways, had it not been for the return of those friends I hold most dear. How can I regret parting with Dahlia when the fork in our road led me directly back into the arms of Catti Bree? And thus, here I stand, together once more beside the companions of the hall, rejoined with the truest and dearest friends I have ever known and could ever hope to know. Have they changed? Have their respective journeys through the realm of death itself brought to these four friends a new and guiding set of principles that will leave me sorely disappointed as I come to know them once more? That is a fear I hold, but hold afar. For people do not fundamentally change, so I believe. The warmth of Catti Bree's embrace is one inspiring confidence that I am right. The mischievous grin of Regis, even with the mustache and goatee, is one I have seen before. And Brunner's call that night under the stars atop Kelvin's cairn, and his reaction to Wolfgar, aye, that was Brunner, true to the thick bone and thick head. All that said, in these first days together, I have noted a change in Wolfgar's step, I admit. There is a lightness there I have not seen before, and curiously, I say, given the description I have been told of his reluctance to leave Eruladun for the mortal world once more, a smile that never seems to leave his face. But he is Wolfgar, surely, the proud son of Beornagar. He has found some enlightenment, though in what way I cannot say. Enlightened and lightened. I see no burden there. I see amusement and joy, as if he views this all as a grand adventure on borrowed time, and I cannot deny the health of that perspective. They are back. We are back, the companions of the hall. We are not as we once were, but our hearts remain true, our purpose joined, and our trust for each other undiminished and thus unbridled. I am very glad of that. And in a curious way, and a surprising way to me, I hold no regrets for the last few years of my journey through a life confusing, frightening, and grand all at once. My time with Dahlia, and particularly with Entreri, was one of learning, I must believe. To see the world through a cynical perspective did not hurl me back to the days of my youth in Menzoberranzan, and thus encapsulate me in darkness, but rather, has offered to me a more complete understanding of the consequence of choice. For I broke free of the cynicism before knowing what fate awaited me atop Brunner's climb. I am not so self-centered as to believe that the world around me is created for me. We all play such self-centered games at times, I suppose. But in this case, I will allow myself one moment of self-importance, to accept the reunion of the companions of the hall as a reward to me. Put whatever name you wish upon the gods and goddesses, or the fates, or the coincidences and twists that move the world along its path, it matters not. In this one instance, I choose to believe in a special kind of justice. Indeed, it is a foolish and self-serving claim, I know. But it feels good. Drizzt Do'Urden. Chapter 1. The Seasoned Matron Bayenry. It seemed just another day for Matron Mother Quenthel Bayenry as she went to her evening prayers. Her magnificent black robes, laced like flowing spider webs, swirled around her as she regally moved along the center aisle, passing the inferior priestesses at the many side altars of the Bayenry House Chapel. The slightest breeze could send the spidery ends of that robe drifting upward and outward, blurring the form of the matron mother, giving her the appearance of etherealness and otherworldliness. Quenthel's sole surviving sister, Sosumtu, the first priestess of the house and keeper of the chapel, had preceded her to prayer this evening and now prostrated herself, face down on the stone floor, legs tucked in a tight kneeling position. Quenthel considered that image as she neared, noting that Sosumtu had her forearms and hands flat on the floor above her head, up toward the altar, a position of complete supplication and apology even, and not the typical form for daily prayers by the leading priestesses. A priestess of Sosumtu's station rarely assumed so humble an entreaty. Quenthel walked up close enough to hear her sister's chanted prayer, and indeed, it was an apology, and a desperate one at that. The matron mother listened for a bit longer, hoping to catch some hint of why Sosumtu would be apologizing, but caught nothing specific. "Dear sister," she said when Sosumtu finally broke from her fevered chant. The first priestess raised her hand and turned to glance back. "Supplicate," Sosumtu whispered urgently. "At once!" Quenthel's first instinct was to lash out at Sosumtu.